I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left.
It's not all right. All right. She's sick. You go right. She's failing.
It's
got weakness in the extremities.
Oh, here we go. It's the touche.
Starting hard here.
It's time for our weekly look at national politics. A lot going on this weekend. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio to argue about Hillary's health, the deplorables, and some Putin love as well.
Good to see you guys.
How are you guys?
Good to see you, man.
Putin. All right. So before we get to that, let's start and honor our dear friend, Professor Paul Green. Paul Green, just untimely. I mean, just an aorta. They said it was an aorta aneurysm. He passed this weekend. Terrible loss for the WGN radio family here, but also for the political family here and the community here in Chicago. Because he was a great political pundit, a guy who really spoke. I've had him on countless. I was thinking about it yesterday, reflecting on this. I mean, probably 50 to 100 times. We just did election night together, the primary together. It's a big loss for the political community here in Chicago.
Yeah, it's huge. Paul was the chairman of the City Club and moderated, for those who've been fortunate enough to attend when Paul moderates at City Club. He is both obnoxious while being hysterically funny and with an encyclopedic knowledge. And he's been an institution in this city for literally decades. I personally have known him for almost 30 years. And I have to tell you, I read this tweet yesterday morning while I was out on a ride, and I was just devastated. It's such a shock, because Paul is as integral to the Chicago political community as Tim Russert was to the national political community. And both died in years right before presidential elections that are historic, amazing presidential elections. I just have such warm feelings for Paul. And I know, Chris, you worked very closely with Paul.
Yeah. Paul and I were on the board of the City Club together for more than 25 years. I supported his becoming chairman of the City Club, and loved him dearly, and knew Paul in a variety of ways, not just through the City Club, but before that, when I worked for the South Suburban Congressman George O'Brien. Paul was an elected official down in Will County. He was a township supervisor down there, and was really pouring his all into that activity. I think that was the only time he ever ran for office. But, you know, he was from the streets of Chicago. The kid grew up. His father owned a car dealership about maybe 40th and Cottage Grove. And so he knew politics from the street level and the precinct level on up. And I think that is one of the bases for the resonance to which David refers, because not only was he completely fluent in and conversant in precinct level knocking on door politics, but he also had the whole veneer and the whole substance of the University of Chicago PhD. So he understood the library research and running regressions and
But he knew what made politics tick, especially in this town.
He didn't accept
the other.
Right, and he didn't accept the kind of superficial analysis that so often passes for political punditry. I've done
which election. We'll engage in momentarily.
Exactly. That'll be after the break. He was
it's coming up.
I didn't always agree with Paul. I mean, he was on my side of the aisle, but I didn't always agree with Paul. But I always found his insights interesting, and it's why he was such a great pundit, because he had such amazing depth of knowledge, and he loved this stuff.
Right.
You know, we often talk about political junkies, which all of us sitting behind these microphones are.
We're deplorable for it.
We are our own basket of deplorables. But he was just, he had an amazing hunger for this stuff. And he loved it. So he would go deep in the numbers, as Chris said, and he would go precinct by precinct and do these interesting analyses. And, we will as a community be poorer.
Well, no election for, I think maybe all of us, was complete until about 3 weeks later, when we would get his analysis. He would send out the analysis that he had performed by hand on the numbers, eyeballing the races that he thought were important and the precincts and the trends and everything. And he came up every time I would read those and you'd see some insight, you'd get some view of things that you had not yourself come up with. And, you know, this will be a much less agreeable election, win, lose, or draw, because we will not be getting that, you know.
Professor Paul Green, who died this weekend unexpectedly, he will be missed. The WGN Radio family has been tributing him all day, and we continue to keep his family in our prayers, thoughts here at WGN and in the city of Chicago. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, Hillary's health, deplorables, Putin love.
Putin love.
Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. Let's get to it. Tonight, obviously, big weekend for Hillary's health. What was a conspiracy theory turned into reality as video was released of her leaving a 9/11 remembrance, getting into the van, having to be helped. It did not look good from any vantage point, any angle, that Hillary Clinton was having a hard time walking under her own power. It comes out she has pneumonia. She shouldn't have been there in the first place. But, you know, there's a lot of criticism to the way that there's this was all held in privacy. Where are we, Dave Lundy, with Healthgate for HRC?
Okay, well, first of all, let's be clear about something. You just said that the conspiracy theory turned into reality. No, it didn't. The conspiracy theory is that Hillary has Parkinson's. Zero evidence. Hillary has Parkinson's. Chris here has posted on my Facebook page lots of times that Hillary has Parkinson's.
I have not
I forgot. Initially, you didn't put a question mark after it.
And when I called you on it, you edited your comment to add a question mark.
It's
just absolutely false.
But let me
tell all these nice people sitting out here, these are falsehoods.
No. So let me just read
something like Parkinson's with a question mark or just Parkinson's.
Or every Parkinsonian meme on the alt-right.
The point here is that Hillary
cannot tell the truth. Can I read her comments?
She decided to tell the truth.
So Hillary just did an interview with Anderson Cooper tonight.
Wake up the news department.
Hillary did an interview. Listen to Rob. Oh, no, he's not there.
Pull some tape, Ralph.
So Hillary did an interview tonight on Anderson Cooper, and she said, quote, "I just didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. It's just the kind of thing that if it happens to you and you're a busy, active person, you keep moving forward. I was supposed to rest 5 days. That's what they told me on Friday, and I didn't follow the very wise advice." So this is what Hillary said tonight. And you could look at this two different ways. On the one hand, you say, okay, you're right. You should have followed your doctor's advice. What were you thinking? And on the other hand, as a campaign operative, and I happen to think the Clinton campaign is very well run, but occasionally and usually around these kinds of things,
they trip up.
They make a big mistake, and they made a huge one.
It's around privacy. It's always around whether or not what should be divulged to the public.
Right.
So
deception.
Methods of deception.
So yesterday,
modalities of deceiving the public.
Instead of sending out a statement at 11 o'clock in the morning, which they should have done, that said, on Friday, Hillary Clinton was diagnosed with Parkinson's. She tried to power through it and had five events on Friday.
Pneumonia.
Did I just say Parkinson's?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. See, okay. Chris, you've even got me believing the big lie.
Cancel that tape.
Anyway,
Don't pull that.
So on Friday, she should have said, I was diagnosed with Hillary was diagnosed with pneumonia. She tried to power through it. And as a senator from New York, she was committed to the 9/11 families and wanted to be there for the event.
Let me ask Chris this. That's what she should have done. I hear that. I hear everything that's happened and I go, you know what? I buy it. Do you buy it?
No. Heck no.
And your evidence?
I mean, look, Hillary, first of all, it goes back to the cattle futures. I mean, you just can't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. Excuse me.
The cattle did not have Parkinson's.
All right, Chris.
And so she gets to she destroys 30,000 emails. You know.
Oh, my God.
Right. I'm serious. And now about her health. And let me stipulate by saying, as the Republican in this touche panel, we don't know anything about Trump's health either, and we ought to. And Hillary and Trump both ought to get their health records, put them
in
a room.
Is that a normal thing? Is that a normal thing?
It is what McCain did, and it should become normal for every. Get your health records, put them in a room, and either put in independent doctors like the dean of the UCLA Medical School and the Yale Medical, whatever, or invite pool reporters to go in and scour this stuff. The reason that people are talking about, they're coming up with their own theories about Hillary's well-being, which I hope that she recovers from pneumonia or fatigue or dehydration or whatever she is afflicted by. But the only reason people are talking about it is because, as David said, the campaign cannot get its head on straight about saying. So on Friday, before the basket of deplorables comment, apparently she was diagnosed. They said nothing then. Okay, they said nothing Saturday. She goes to this thing, and they come out with something that is just part of the truth and not the whole truth. And then 4 hours later, by the way, they ditched the NBC pool reporter who was supposed to be with them. They ditched the New York Police Department escort that was supposed to escort her so that she doesn't get into some kind of accident or whatever, or, you know, God forbid, an assassination. Then they overruled the Secret Service because the Secret Service has a protocol that when this happens to a candidate, whether Republican, Democrat, male, female, they're supposed to go to the ER.
Let me ask Dave, let's make a transition to the next topic here as we run a little short on time tonight. Okay, can the basket of deplorables?
Yeah,
that's after the pneumonia diagnosis. Maybe she wasn't thinking clearly. Maybe
she was
drugs.
Faint.
No, I'm kidding.
What's a take on look, that? Because that's not a good start for her.
There is a think. There are those who believe, who genuinely believe, that the basket of deplorables comment was fine, that the only problem with it was that she said it was half of his supporters. And by the way, if you look at polling from March, you will find that half of his supporters believe that blacks are inferior, that blacks are less intelligent, that blacks are prone to crime.
This is not true.
It was Reuters Ipsos. It's not a misrepresentation.
It's a misrepresentation.
The Trump supporters, 46%. It was the March poll numbers.
Not that blacks are inferior. Come on. That is not one of the findings. Now, come on.
They're less. Oh, you're right, Chris. They just are less intelligent, more violent, and more criminal. That's what Trump supporters believe.
Hold on.
This is a window into how the elites despise regular people.
No, it's not.
And it's a window. It is indeed. Because not only does she say that they're deplorables, the other half she described as, you know, down and outers, dead enders, losers, basically people who are relying on some force out beyond themselves to take over. This is why she said 100% of the people supporting Trump are somehow debilitated. And then she got to the point, and this was about the deplorables. She said these people are not Americans.
No, she said
they're not America. That is what she said, not America. And she said they're irredeemable. Irredeemable. I mean, this is outrageous. And
I'm sorry she didn't say something wise like that his supporters were rapists and I'm sure some of them are good people. That would have been so much superior.
Well, let me ask
your problem, Chris, is that your candidate is a racist and a bigot and has encouraged. And David Duke has repeatedly come out and said Donald Trump represents the values of our white nationalist movement.
Well,
he hired the media head of the alt-right movement to run his campaign.
How much of this is just bad politics in the way that you're trying to demonize the other side? You're trying to say alt-right is Trump. You're trying to say that even the liberal left is Clinton. How much of this is just playing to the stereotypes that our country is
now? An unwritten rule is that you don't attack the supporters of your opponent.
I agree.
Okay. And I think that, and maybe Hillary, God forbid or whatever, I hope she gets better, but maybe she was already depressed or dehydrated or suffering from pneumonia or whatever. But this is beyond, if you listen to NPR this morning and you listen to Cokie Roberts analyzing this on NPR, you're going to hear her say that this rhetoric is far beyond the normal for
it's surprising.
Hillary.
It's surprising
this
for a Democrat
way out.
To go.
It was,
Let
it,
me ask you also, but though, as we get short on time here, I want to
love.
I want to go to Putin. The other thing that's happening here is just this continuing relationship that seems to be bubbling up in this election between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Yeah, I don't understand.
Looks like Putin love.
Okay.
Look, what frustrates me most about the baskets of deplorable comments from a political standpoint is that Donald Trump was being destroyed because of the comments he made in the Commander-in-Chief forum about Putin. He was being, all these Republicans were being asked about their views on Putin and Trump's views on Putin, and he was self-destructing, and the basket of deplorables comment interrupted that. Yeah. That's right. From a political perspective.
Thank you, Hillary.
That was a big political mistake.
Hillary,
that said, Donald Trump has to answer for not just Putin, but also the fact that he owes $1.5 billion to the Bank of China on his buildings.
Just all the business
and he hasn't
dealings,
disclosed
right.
anything, and because his tax returns he won't let us see, and now we find out his foundation
is
a sham.
He ought to disclose his tax return, and Hillary ought to disclose the speeches to the big banks that she doesn't want
totally
everybody to
see. Totally not analogous.
Okay, I'm just saying disclosure is good for the goose and the gander, and I want to say this. Hillary is the candidate of Putin in this race. And the reason
Excuse
for
me?
That is Hillary is the candidate of Putin in this race. There is no question about it. She is the one who failed at the reset and gave him the access to all of the uranium. So, I mean, the one who he knows how to play, the one he knows how to get from what he wants is Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yes, and that is, of course, why the Russians have hacked the DNC, released all this DNC stuff, and are using their agent, Julian Assange, to attack her on a constant basis because they want Donald Trump, because they want Hillary Clinton. No, they want Donald Trump, who has said on the air, he said, well, if Putin says nice things about me, I'm going to say nice things about Putin.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Last
come on. You know this stuff. You know how wrong that is.
I know that Hillary failed at the reset, and I know that the relations between Obama and Putin and the United States and Russia are not nearly what they should be. And that is because Obama has systematically withdrawn and reduced and diminished American influence in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe.
All right. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, another episode of Touche. We'll be back next Monday and then the Monday after the debates. We got some big Mondays coming up.
Big here. Monday debate.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling. Stay with us.